with me. I want you just to close your eyes and lift your hands toward heaven. And we're just going to praise God. So I can praise Him without lifting my arms. Well, that's all right. That's all right. I just want to tell the Lord that I love Him. And I just want to pray. Okay, I just feel impressed in my spirit to pray. Father, Lord, we humble ourselves before You. God, we are so thankful that You have manifested Yourself unto us, and we bless Your holy name. With the psalmist David, we say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." God, I bless You, and I praise You from the depths of my soul for Your goodness to us. I thank Thee, Lord, that I know that Thou alone art God, plenteous in mercy, loving kindness and grace unto Your own. For Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. God, would You inhabit the praises of Your people here in this congregation tonight? Would You settle in among us and take away the cares that burden us and load us down? Help us to be assured of Your presence and to know that regardless of how dim the light becomes in our path or how gloomy the season may be, that standing somewhere in the shadows, there will be Jesus. Lord, thank You for always being there for us. There is none as holy as You, Lord. Neither is there any beside Thee. And I want to thank You for being our rock and our salvation. You're our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And we bless Your name. We love You, and we realize that we love You because You first loved us. God, we're unworthy, but we are willing. We just want to serve You, and God, we need You to enable us and to empower us and strengthen us that we could serve You in a way that would honor You. God, don't let us bring shame and reproach to Your name. But fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Encamp about this property and the property that You've given us across the way with Your holy angels. And I pray, O God, that the power of God might rest upon this ministry, and that the presence of the Almighty might be known in such a way that when folks come to this place, when they leave, they would say, "Surely the Lord was in that place." Get glory to Yourself through all that we do. And Lord, help us to realize without You we can do nothing. We confess that, and we ask for Your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, if you take your Bible and turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter number 20. Before we read the scripture tonight, I'd like about four or five people just to... Darren, would you get that microphone again? Let's get about four or five people just to tell us one thing that you praise God for. All right? This man had his hand up first. Right here. Be brief. Just tell us one thing that you praise God for.
I want to thank God for saving my sister.
Amen. That's good. Pastor Brandon?
For His eternal security.
Amen. Eternal security. We are eternally saved. Who else? All right, right here, Darren.
I want to praise God and thank God for my wife, because Lord knows that she's been through a lot of trials and tribulations, and she's still with me. And I thank God that she loves me. I thank God for my family.
Amen. Amen, Brother John. Someone else. Raise your hand right here, Corey. Making it easy on you, Darren.
The Bible. And the Bible. The truths that are in it.
Amen. Thank God for the Word of God. Let's get a couple more. Here's a lady right here. You'll have to raise your hand. Miss Diane. You'll have to raise your hand high so I can see it.
I just praise the Lord that last month all our grandchildren are saved and been baptized.
Amen. What a wonderful praise.
I like to just thank God. Praise God for our church to go to. Men of God just standing up and just setting goals for us.
Amen.
Younger Christians.
Amen. I have something I want to say, Darren. I thank God for you. I do, buddy. Praise God for you, buddy.
I thank God for the Holy Spirit that talks to us when we don't really want to listen.
Amen. Amen.
God's faithfulness.
Amen.
He's faithful. His loving kindness.
Amen. Thank God for His faithfulness. Sister Mary, right here.
That we have access to the throne room and that He hears every prayer.
Amen. We have access through the blood of Jesus. Let's get Miss Diana back here. Raise your hand high so I can see it now. I think I'm either seeing things or I'm seeing people's hand, and it's kind of... All right, Sister Diana.
For breaking the chains of my addiction.
Amen, Sister Diana. Praise God for that. Amen. That's a good one there. Sister Putnam.
For His watch care over us.
Amen. I was just thinking of a song a couple of days ago. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that He watches me. Amen.
I just want to thank God for His love and His grace and His mercy.
Amen.
For His long-suffering and His patience.
Amen.
Because we sure do need it.
Amen. Amen, Sister Ann. God is good. Brother Cliff, right here.
I'm thankful that God's always there anytime we want to talk to Him.
Amen. Amen. Brother Paul, did you have your hand up? No. Just wait for the mic, brother. Don't try to.
We're just sending His Son for all this to be possible.
Amen.
To be saved.
Amen. All right, let's get two more. Here's Sister Sheila right here, and who's going to be our last one? It's not going to be Sister Sheila.
He never changes. He's always the same.
Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. The Bible calls that immutable. God is immutable. He never changes. That's found in James chapter 1. Yes.
God will serve, never let you down.
Amen, Brother Faulkner. Never let us down. All right, thank you, Brother Darren. God bless you. By the way, Darren, you look sharp tonight. Well, I think it's good. I know it's good. It's praise is comely, and God inhabits, which means He dwells in. He frequents the place where His people praise Him. And so you just kind of feel some tugging at your heart when people begin to praise God. That's the presence of the Lord. I want to talk to you out of Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to preach a few things to you, try to tack on some things that we started last week. So I want to read verses 1 through number 4, okay? Revelation 20, verse 1 through 4. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege to be in your house. It is indeed a privilege to meet with your people in your house and sense and know the presence of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. And I pray tonight that as we look into your words, you would guide our thoughts, open our understanding. And God, help us not to be hearers of your word only, but doers of your word. Use your word tonight to strengthen us, to equip us, and to challenge us, and if need be, to correct us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Last week, if you'll remember, we were talking about just stepping through some of the final things from the next major event of God's prophetic calendar. Now, I can't tell you the next thing God's going to do. I can't tell you that, but I can tell you this. According to the Scripture, the next major event on God's prophetic calendar is what we call the rapture of the church. Now, there's a lot of controversy, and I don't know. I may go into this in some detail at another time, but it's very clear if just study the Scripture and rightly divide the word of truth, the rapture is certainly a biblical teaching. It's not a teaching of man. It's not a teaching of some church father. It's something that is taught in the Scripture. The word caught away is the word that we get from a Latin translation as far as translating the word harpsio into raptio, from where we get rapture. All right? And that's the word is not in the Bible. Now, if you take your Strong's Concordance and you see the Greek word, which our New Testament was originally written in, it's harpsio, okay? And then when you take that and you see what the translation of that word is into Latin, it's raptio or rapio, which we get our word rapture. But it's clearly taught, okay? It's caught up. It's seized. It's to take for one's own. And there's more than just the church. It's used even in Acts chapter 8 when Philip, you may remember when Philip was caught away. The Scripture says, remember when Philip was told of the Spirit of God to go down and to witness to the eunuch, and then the Scripture says that he was just called away. The Spirit of God just removed him in an instant. And so that word is used. It's used about four, maybe five times. If you'll get, again, your concordance out and look, that word is used about four or five times in the New Testament. And each time, it's consistent to a snatching, a taking away, a taking to oneself, to be called up or called out. And so that's going to take place. The saints of God, we that are saved. Now, I read Revelation 20 for this purpose, and I want you to know this. You say, well, you know, what's that mean for me? Well, it means a few things, okay? It means, number one, you need to get ready for it. All right? Now, if you're not saved, you're not ready for Jesus to come back. I want you to know that. All right? You say, well, I'll get saved later. Well, you might. Now, I'm going to tell you, I want to show you some Scripture here. I'll just go ahead and show it to you now. Turn to 2 Thessalonians just for a moment. There's some discussion about that. What happens if Jesus comes tonight and you're not saved? You say, well, I'll just get saved and that way I'll be secured of a place in heaven. Well, I don't know now. The Bible has something to say about that I think you need to give some serious consideration to. In 2 Thessalonians, are you there? 2 Thessalonians. Look in chapter number 2. Of 2 Thessalonians. And here again is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he's talking about the second coming. All right, that's what 1 and 2 Thessalonians is about. And we looked at this last week, and we talked about when the rapture of the church takes place, and Paul in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." Now that's the rapture. Okay, we're going to be gathered together. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. All right? We're going to be called up together. We're going to be gathered together. And he said, I don't want you to soon be shaken. And so there had been some talk. There had even been a letter written. There had been some people that didn't know what they were talking about or either were trying to sow doubt in the hearts and the minds of these believers in Thessalonica. And that's what verse number 2 is about. Verse number 3 said, Paul said, "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day," now what day is he talking about? He's going back to verse 1. The day when Christ shall gather us together. The coming of the Lord. That day, look what he said. We looked at this last week. Shall not come except there come a falling away first. Well, brother, I'm going to tell you, that's happening. You do not, listen, just a casual glance at where we are in Christendom shows that that has certainly, that's in progress. That's in motion. All right? Then he said this. And, now this is what's going to happen. It's going to be a falling away, and there's going to be something else. That man of sin be revealed. So at the rapture of the church, when the church is gathered away, when we're taken out of here, there's going to come a Christ on the scene. So in essence, there's going to be two Christs, okay? Jesus Christ is coming in the air to take the church out of here, and the Antichrist is coming on the scene to set up a false kingdom. It'll be 3 1/2 years, or as the book of the Revelation says in Revelation chapter 11, verse 3, Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, there'll be two periods of 1,260 days. All right? 3.5 years of tribulation, 3.5 years of great tribulation. Read it. It's there. God's word is always right. God's word rightly divided. Listen, you can't miss it. Now, I admit there's some things in the scripture over my head. I'm not ready to tackle that. But these things are clear. All right? You deal with certainty with clarity. Now, there's some things that we can't be as certain on, and so we deal with that in faith, and we ask God to give us insight as we continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These things are clear. Look what he said here in verse number 3 again. He said, there's going to come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, who is this man? Look at verse 4. He's that one who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So he is going to be the Antichrist. He's going to be the devil incarnate. Now Jesus is God incarnate. The Antichrist, following the pattern of Jesus Christ, is going to be the devil incarnate. He's going to be incarnate. He's going to fill a man to carry out the program that he has. Now, as you read on down here, I want to get, and if you look at verse number 6, look at this. Well, let's just go ahead and take it right on down. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Right? Then he said in verse number 6, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. In other words, there's a restraining going on, withholding, right? Holding back. There's a restraining going on. Now, who or what is that? It's you and I. It's the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Well, one day that's going to be removed. You understand? And when that's removed, well, then he's going to come on the scene. All right? Then he said in verse number 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth or restraineth will let until he be taken out of the way. So the mystery, listen, the falling away, the mystery of iniquity, all this is in full swing. And the Spirit of God is working through His church, through you and I as God's people. He's working to restrain that. But however, He says in verse number 7, He said, it's only going to happen until He be taken out of the way. Now, I like that wording there because I want you to understand something. And I've been asked some interesting questions about, well, what happens when the Holy Spirit's taken out of here? I like the way that Paul put it. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. We talked about these attributes and characteristics of God a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things about the Holy Spirit, and listen, my mind can't wrap around this. I know He came on the day of Pentecost, but He was already here. But He came for a specific purpose, which was to birth the church and to fill the saints of God. You with me? So He came in that way. Now He's going to be removed in the same way. But I like, listen, the Bible is just always right. I am so glad I have a King James Bible. I am now in the English speaking. It is the Word of God. And here's just, listen, I want you to watch the way. You say, well, I don't believe that, preacher. Now listen, you need to just wake up and listen. Listen. Things that are different are not the same. I'm not going to get into that tonight. But don't you believe that lie that, well, you know, it just reads easier and it's just, you know, it can be the same. It just reads different. Well, if it's different, it's not the same. Say amen with me. Oh, well, it means the same. Well, then why don't say the same? Amen. If it means the same, it ought to say the same. Amen. That's not hard, in case you want to make it hard. And I do realize there's people who want to make everything hard. But that's not my message tonight. I want you to notice again what the Holy Spirit of God said. Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, until he be taken out of the way. I like that. I just like it. I like the way that God told Paul, he's not going to be completely gone from this earth. I'm just going to remove him out of the way. I'm going to let that crowd that is crying, get God out, get these Christians, take that Bible, get out of my life. I'm just going to allow that to be the reality. I'm going to give them what they wish for. And that's going to happen at the rapture of the church, brethren. Now that's sad, and I'm not happy for that. Don't you think that I'm standing up here happy about that. I'm sad about that. Because there's going to be people that you love, and there's going to be people that I love that's going to reap the severe consequences of this action. Let's read on. So he's not going to be taken out of the world. He's going to be taken out of the way. You understand that, right? Again, thank God for the Bible. Then in verse number 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And we read this last week. Remember when we were in Revelation 19, when the horseman on the white horse came with his saints? Jude put it this way, with 10,000s and thousands of his saints. Amen. He's coming back. Now the rapture, he's coming for us. But now what Paul is writing here, see what Paul wrote over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse number 16 and 17, he's coming for us. But now here is the revelation when he said, look at again in verse number 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, and watch it, whom the Lord shall consume. He's going from the rapture, because that wicked shall be revealed, and then he's going right to the end, to the revelation, to whom eventually the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy the brightness of his coming. All right? You get the rapture and the revelation right there in one verse. And then he said this in verse number 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, or I'm sorry, verse number 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, I've made this statement many times, and perhaps you have too. You know, what is it with people? Don't people get it? Let me tell you something. They don't get it. And here's why. Right here's why. And they're not going to get it even in a more, this profound way, when the Holy Spirit of God is removed out of the way. See, the Holy Spirit of God enlightens our minds. Don't you think for a moment that you would know anything about God's Word without the aid and assistance of the Holy Spirit? The natural man, listen, he is spiritually discerned. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. So God help me and God help you to realize, without the aid and assistance of the Holy Spirit, brethren, we wouldn't understand this book. We need God to help us to understand. And so he's saying here, look at it in verse number 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. You know, when people today do things they do and make decisions they make, and it's gonna intensify after the Spirit of God's moved out of the way, it's because of the deceitfulness and the deception of the enemy. You understand this? It's gonna get worse. It's gonna get worse, brethren. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now here's what I was gonna get at. You say, well, when the rapture of the church takes place, I'll just get saved because I know and I'll get saved and then I won't die and go to hell. Well, I don't know. I want you to, let's see what the scripture says here. So here is Paul writing this church of believers, and he's saying, listen, if you're saved, you're safe. But now if you're not, one day the Spirit of God's going to gather away his people. And the Antichrist is going to come on the scene, and part of him coming on the scene is going to be working in verse number 9, power and signs and lying wonders. In verse number 10, deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, this tells me that they heard and they knew that they needed to be saved, but they didn't receive it. Now, it didn't say that they didn't know it or know about it. It says that they didn't receive it, which means that it was offered. Right? I mean, in order for me to not receive something, at least I have to be offered it. And so I didn't receive it. And so he said, there's going to, this group of people, they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now watch this in verse number 11. And for this cause, God. Now he goes from Satan deceiving people with lying wonders and with deceivableness of unrighteousness. And now he said that God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed. And that's past tense. They had an opportunity, but they didn't receive it. And this, by the sentence structure, goes right back to verse number 11 or verse number 10, where they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And so verse number 11 says that God shall send them strong delusion that they should not believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now what's going to happen? I don't know all that's going to happen. But I know that there's people even today that are being deceived. And I can only imagine once the Holy Spirit of God has been taken out of the way, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to be walking around thinking they're okay and they're not okay. Now there's a lot of people like that right now. And I just hinted a little bit toward that on Sunday night. And I'm not here, listen, I'm not here to try to get anyone to doubt their salvation. All I want you to do is examine yourself and see whether you be in the faith. All right? So here it is. Now we go back to Revelation 20, and I want, in our time that we have left, I want to talk to you about the next step. So we have the rapture of the church. While have been raptured out, very clear that there's going to be the marriage supper, Revelation 19, verses 7 through 9. There's going to be the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's why we're in heaven. On earth, there's going to be two phases also. Tribulation, 3.5 years. Great tribulation, which Jesus said that this world has never known. Never seen anything like what's coming to this earth. All right? Literally, hell on earth. At the close of that time, the scripture teaches that Jesus is going to come with his saints, and that's when the battle of Armageddon is going to be fought. And I want you to look in chapter 19 just for a moment, because here's what's going to happen at the battle of Armageddon that I think you should know about. In verse number 19 of chapter 19, Revelation 19, verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. All right? Now, just like there's a holy trinity, there's an unholy trinity, because Satan tries to mock everything that God does. All right? And so we have the beast and the false prophet here. And then there's the Antichrist. That completes the unholy trinity. But the beast and the false prophet obviously are going to be individuals. And they're going to be taken, these individuals are going to be taken, they're going to be cast. The Bible says right here, they're going to be cast alive. Now it can't be a machine. I've heard people say, well, you know, the beast is going to be a computer. Well, I don't think a computer's alive. I've heard people teach that. The beast is a computer. There's a big computer in Washington called the beast. That doesn't concern me. Cast alive. Human beings. All right? Part of the unholy trinity. They're going to be cast alive. And then in verse number 20 of chapter 20, verse 1, an angel is going to come down. Going to lock Satan up for 1,000 years. All right, you say, well, how can that happen? Well, I don't really know how that can happen. As a matter of fact, there's angels right now in Tartarus who are chained. How do you chain a spiritual being? God has ways of restraining. God many times uses verbiage so that we can grasp a teaching. You understand this? All right? Here's an angel with a chain. Is that what chapter 20, verse number 1 says? Got a key to the bottomless pit, and he had a great chain in his hand. And he's going to chain the devil. He is. And he's going to chain him for 1,000 years. Now, some guy said, well, he's already chained. And I like what the response to that was. It must be a long one because he's getting to me. Amen. Amen. You know, there are those who believe, well, we're in the millennial kingdom and Satan's already chained. Wow, it must be a long chain because he's getting to me too. No, this hasn't happened yet. This hasn't happened yet. Because when this happens, I'm going to be a part of what happens before it, which means I'm going to be coming with Jesus on my white horse, and I'm going to see him slay the armies of Antichrist in the Valley of Megiddo in the Battle of Armageddon. And I'm going to see him take the beast and the false prophet that deceived the nations, and he's going to cast them into the lake of fire. Hey, I'm going to see that. I haven't seen that yet. Satan is not chained. Not yet. But he's going to be. Because the Bible says so. And it says he's going to be chained, and he's going to be cast in the bottomless pit in verse number 3, and he's going to be shut up, and a seal is going to be placed upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Now, you know, I want you to think about that for a moment. What a time that's going to be. Now this is talking about, now we're getting ready to move into the next major event. So we've had the rapture, we're in heaven, the saints of God in heaven, lost people on earth, in heaven, the saints of God, marriage supper of the Lamb, the judgment seat of Christ, here on earth running parallel with that, tribulation, great tribulation, and then the saints of God are going to come back on this earth, and that those timelines are going to come together, the battle of Armageddon, and now we're getting ready to enter into another major theme, and it's 1,000-year time frame. All right? It's called the millennial reign or the kingdom age, when Jesus shall sit on the throne of his father David in the city of Jerusalem, and he's going to rule with a rod of iron. He's going to be the lawmaker. Going to put teeth. That's what that means when it says he's going to rule with a rod of iron. That means you're going to do what he says or there's going to be consequences. Amen? So I don't like that. Yeah, that's what's wrong with our world today. There's no teeth in the law. Can I tell you, Jesus is coming back to put some teeth in the law, brethren. Now he is. And the scripture says that in verse number 4 of Revelation 20, I saw thrones and they that sit upon them. I believe with all my heart these are the raptured saints. All right? You go back to Revelation 4. We did that last week. I'm not going to do it. And judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. I believe that's the tribulation saints. So the tribulation period is ended. How do you know? Because the millennial kingdom's starting. Tribulation period's ended. There will be people saved in the tribulation period. So how do you know that? Well, the Bible says so. These are they that came out of great tribulation and washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Multitudes of them. There's going to be 144,000 Jews preaching the gospel of the everlasting kingdom. What evangelists they are going to be. So look what he says here. So we have those church saints in the first part of verse 4. Then we have those tribulation saints, and he says of them that the tribulation saints, they were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their right hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, I hope you've underlined that or highlighted that in your Bible. We're going to live and reign with Jesus Christ 1,000 years. Now, I'm telling you, brethren, it's real. This is reality. There's people who would literally think we're kooks for believing this. I'm not a kook. I believe people are kooks if they don't believe it. This is the Word of God here. This is the Word of God. I have zero problem believing what I just read you. Actually, I'm not only looking forward to it, I'm expecting it. I'm expecting it. Then it says in verse number 5, now here's where it gets a little tricky, and I want to step you through this, and this will be our final thought. What about the resurrection? Well, I had somebody last week, and I believe it was a genuine question. I believe they really meant it. And see, there's not much teaching on these things anymore. This stuff used to be taught with regularity. And for whatever reason, it's just, I'm not saying nobody's teaching. I'm just saying that a lot of churches, even people outside Baptist denomination taught these truths. Maybe not exactly the way that we're teaching it, but they understood these are things that's coming to pass. What about the resurrection? What's going to happen? I had somebody ask me last week, now, aren't we all just, didn't Jesus say that everybody's just going to be resurrected and he's going to separate, you know, the sheep from the goats? I said, no, that's nations. That's Matthew 25. That's nations. That's not individuals. That's nations. That's friends of Israel and foes of Israel. Read it. It's very clear. So let's step through this. I'll take the remaining time. I got about 10 minutes. I want you to follow me now. I think this will help you. Let's follow the scripture. It's not hard if you'll follow the scripture. Brother Brandon's going to be talking about a series of messages on Wednesday nights, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we have to do. So let's look at it. So they lived and reigned 1,000 years. Who? These people who've been dead. But now they're alive. They've been resurrected. Is that what verse 4 teaches? Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, they were beheaded. You get your head cut off, you're going to die. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. That's tribulation saints. And the ones before that, not a doubt in my mind, that refers to the church that was raptured. And then he says that they shall live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. But now look at verse number 5. But the rest of the, what's that next word? Dead. See, these are people that have been dead in verse number 4. But now they're alive. Is that what the Bible's teaching? Do you see that? Listen, I want you to see this. This is important. So after the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus is going to set up his kingdom. And then the Bible teaches that there's going to be a reign of all of us that have been resurrected, whether it be the church saints or the tribulation saints. That's what verse number 4 is teaching. We're going to live and reign. We were dead. Now we're going to live, but we're not just going to live. We're going to reign with Christ 1,000 years. And then verse number 5 says, but the rest of the dead. See, these were dead. But not everybody that was dead is going to be resurrected at the same time. So I want you to understand this. Only those in Christ. That's why 1 Thessalonians, listen carefully, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 17 says, the dead in Christ shall rise. All right? Yeah. Not all the dead. The dead in Christ. And I think I have time to do this. Hold your place here and go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, and if you'll turn there in a hurry, I will too. If 1 Corinthians 15, it's what we have a principle, okay? It's called the full mention principle. And it's a principle when you're studying the Bible that says God is going to fully exalt a subject, and the resurrection is the subject of 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to look with me. The Apostle Paul covers something really interesting here as he's talking about the resurrection. Look, if you would, in verse number 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. And this is what he said. Now, I want you to follow this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 says this. But, he says now, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. All right? So there's one group. That's Christ. Now, you know that when Christ resurrected, Matthew 27 says that there were many other saints that resurrected too. Now, it didn't say all of them, it said many. Read it when you get home, all right? Many. They resurrected after his resurrection. And so that's what Paul was referring to here. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of what? Them. That's the others that slept. So that's one group, all right? Verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Christ all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But, here you go now, every man in his own order. In other words, the resurrection has an order to it. And here it is. Don't miss this. Here's the order of the resurrection. Christ, the first fruits. That's already happened. That's already happened. Paul alluded to that back in verse number 20. And he's referring to when Christ resurrected, Matthew 27, that there were many saints that came out of the grave when Christ did. You've read that. I've preached it here. You've heard it preached probably many times around Easter. Then, if you look at, so we have Christ, the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Now, that's the resurrection saints and the tribulation saints. All right? That's what we just read in Revelation chapter 20. That's what we just read. Now here's the third group. Then, verse 24, cometh the end. Now what does that mean? Then cometh the end. Then there's this final resurrection. Now when is that going to take place? Watch what Paul said now. Paul said that end resurrection is going to take place when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he hath put down all rule and authority and power. At the close of the millennial kingdom is the final resurrection, when he hath put down all power and delivered up the kingdom to God. After he's delivered it to God and said, I've ruled and I've reigned, and now we're ready for the next phase, which is a new heaven and a new earth, and we'll see that. So did you see what just happened there? There's three groups. Did you get them? Underline them. Let's walk through it one more time. Verse 23. But every man in his own order. Every man's going to resurrect. Hey, don't you for one moment think, well, some people's going to soul sleep just through eternity. Oh, no. There's coming a day that, listen, all men are coming out of the graves, just not at the same time. And that's what Paul's teaching here. Every man in his own order. Everybody that dies is coming out of the grave. You don't die and stay in the grave. Your body. Amen. You do not die and stay in the grave. Everybody is coming out of the grave. But there's an order. And here's what he said. Christ the first fruits. Here, that's the first. And part of that, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Right? Rapture. Saints of God. You say, what's that got to do with me? Everything. You need to know where you are in this. I can tell you right now, if you're sitting under the sound of my voice, you're not Christ in the first fruits. And I pray to God that you're the second part, you're Christ that is coming. Because if you're not, the Bible says in verse 24, then cometh the end, or the end ones, then cometh the final resurrection. When's that going to be? It's going to be at the close of the millennial kingdom. Now we'll close with this as you turn back to Revelation. And we'll spend some time here. I want you to get the picture. I wished I had a chart I could draw so you could see. I want you to get this, brethren. This is important. This is really important. Bible doctrine is important. And it's important that we study the Bible to show ourselves approved unto God. And so he says here, Revelation, are you with me? Revelation chapter number 20. He said in the latter part of verse 4, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's the saints that resurrected. That's you and I. If we die. If we don't, we're going to be translated. That's the difference. See, the resurrection saints and the translated saints, listen, they're going up together. The dead in Christ first, and then we which are alive and remain. We're going to be part of the rapture. Amen. Yeah. And then he said in verse number 4 here that those that had suffered the martyrdom through persecution, the tribulation saints, they're going to be part of what's called the first resurrection. And he said this in verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Isn't that what Paul just said? At the close of the kingdom would come the end resurrection. And he said, so those that are left, they're not going to be resurrected until after the kingdom age. That's exactly what Paul said. Then cometh the end. Compare these scripture. That's how you interpret scripture. You compare scripture with scripture. So here's what he said. This is the first resurrection. In other words, there's the resurrection as far as the first fruits, and then we that are Christ that is coming, the tribulation saints, but then there's a second resurrection. Listen, if there's a first resurrection, guess what? Got to be a second one, right? Or why else would you say there's a first one? Yes. Amen? This means yes, this means no, this means I don't know. I want you to get this. I want you to get it. Because it said this, look at verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. I want you to understand that if you're saved in the grace of God, you're going to heaven. And you're going to resurrect one day, and you're going to have a glorified body, and you're going to live and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. That's something to get excited about, even on your worst day here on earth. We have gotten so earthly minded that we've become no heavenly good. We've almost just gotten so dug into this earth that we've forgotten the inheritance that's waiting on us, brethren. And it's because we need to look into this and see what he said. I want to close with this, and we'll pick up here next week. So it said this. Verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And then he says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, so the 1,000 years are up, and you move on down, look if you would in verse number 12. Verse number 12 is going to pick up a thought that Paul started in verse number 5. He said in verse number 5, but the rest of the dead. And he said, I'm going to tell you about the rest of the dead. I didn't tell you what's going to happen to them, did I? Because I went on to say what's in line of those who were resurrected in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy. You're going to be blessed. You're going to reign with Christ. You're going to live with him 1,000 years. You're going to be with him for all eternity. What a wonderful thing. And then he said, oh, by the way, the rest of those dead, see verse 5, but the rest of the dead, they didn't live again until the 1,000 years were up. But then he said in verse number 7, the 1,000 years are up. You see that, verse 7? They've expired. So what's going to happen with that group? Verse number 12. Well, verse number 11, and I saw a great throne. Are you in verse 11? I saw a great throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. There they are. Here's the dead out of Christ. We've looked at the dead in Christ. The dead out of Christ are going to stand before the great white throne judgment. And their names are not written in the book. And it's going to be a sad time. I'm here to tell you. It is. It's going to be sad. I want you to read these scripture, and we may or may not get into it. We'll see how the Lord leads. I want to study more on this. I just think it's important that we know some things about the end times. I don't think we ought to spend all of our time. I think we can get a little out of kilter, a little out of balance if we get too unbalanced with the end times and the time that's now. But I do think we need to know that these things are coming. And we need to know what to expect, and I think it'll change the way we live. So, after the millennial kingdom, the great white throne judgment. So you have the rapture. In the rapture, the saints are going to heaven. There'll be the marriage supper of the Lamb and the judgment seat of Christ. On earth, with those that are not taken up in the rapture, there's going to be tribulation and great tribulation. At the close of those, there's going to be the battle of Armageddon. That will be at the beginning of the millennial reign. Christ will win that battle as he slays the armies of Antichrist with the sword that proceeds out of his mouth, and he will set up his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. During that 1,000 years, we who have been resurrected, and even the tribulation saints will be resurrected moving into that 1,000 years. They died during the 7 years. They will be resurrected. They'll be part of the first resurrection, and they will reign and rule with us in Christ for that 1,000 years. That's what the scripture teaches. And then at the close of that 1,000 years, Satan will be loose, and then the battle of Gog and Magog, and we'll talk about that another time too. I skipped over that so I could get to the great white throne judgment. And all the dead of all of time out of Christ, all the unbelievers are going to stand before God, and every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, it's true now. It's going to happen. It is. And then Revelation 21. Revelation 20 ends that way. Revelation 21, John said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. My eternity. We're going to be with God forever. The temple of God is going to dwell with man. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. I am. I hope you are. I believe you are. Let's take some people with us. Let's take some people with us. All right, let's stand to our feet.